If you'll open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, I want us to think about the Lord's Supper from several different angles tonight. First, I want us to think about why do we do this, and then how are we supposed to do this, and then what happens when we take the Lord's Supper together. So those will kind of be our headings tonight, and if you have your bulletin, you see that there are lots of blanks for you to fill in tonight, and I think by about 11:30 or midnight, we can have them all filled in, and we can have this wrapped up. But first of all, why do we take the Lord's Supper? The answer to that question is twofold. Number one, to be obedient to Christ's command. Jesus has commanded us to observe what we call the Lord's Supper. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, look with me beginning in verse 23. Paul said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." And so when Jesus was talking to those disciples on that Thursday night in the upper room there in Jerusalem before he was crucified on Friday morning, he gave them a clear instruction to eat the bread and to drink of the cup. And then Paul says to that we are to continue in this practice as often as you do it. And so it is assumed in the Bible that Christians would, with some regularity, observe the Lord's Supper. And so tonight, the first reason we do this is just to be obedient to Jesus. It is what he has commanded us to do. The second reason that we take the Lord's Supper is to be reminded of Christ's sacrifice. If you look back at the end of verses 24 and 25, it says, "Do this in remembrance of me." Paul is quoting Jesus. And then at the end of verse 25, "in remembrance of me." And so tonight, as we take the Lord's Supper together, it's not only to be obedient, but it is also so that we could be reminded of what Jesus Christ did for us when he died on the cross. And so tonight, we're reminded, first of all, of the seriousness of sin. Think about this. If God were ever going to go easy on sin, it would have been when all the sins of the world were placed on Jesus. But God didn't go easy on sin. Jesus had to die for our sins. And so tonight, we're reminded of the seriousness of sin. We're reminded of the fact that the wages of sin is death. And we're reminded of Christ's great love for us, that he would take all of our sins, and not only ours, but the sins of the whole world upon himself, and he would go out and bear those sins, carry those sins, and be punished for those sins. And so tonight, in remembrance of Jesus, we remember what he did, we honor what he did, and we certainly praise him for what he did for us. Now, let's shift a gear and think about how do we take the Lord's Supper. We're doing it to be obedient and to be reminded of what Jesus has done, but how do we go about doing this? Well, I think there's some very important things that come out in this passage. First of all, we should always take the Lord's Supper reverently. Reverently. In verse 27, Paul said, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." Verse 31, "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." And so Paul is saying that when you come together in a setting like this to take the Lord's Supper, remember you're doing something that is very serious. And this is not something that we do flippantly, or something that we do half-heartedly, or something we do with our mind on where we're going after the service. No, he's saying before you eat of this bread tonight and drink of this cup, that you should examine yourselves. In fact, as I was thinking, you know, we're talking about doing this reverently or seriously. What does this mean? I think it means two things. Number one, we examine ourselves. We ask God to examine us, and we say, God, search me tonight, know my heart. Is there any sin in me? And God, if there is, that I've not confessed and been forgiven of, and God, if there is, bring that to my mind. And then many times we have sin in our life, and we know that it's there. And so we just have to examine ourselves, and then we have to confess our sins to God. Years ago, I was watching a talk show, and the host was interviewing Billy Graham. This has probably been about 15 years ago. And it was coming up a few days before Easter, and that was why they had the interview to begin with. Having Dr. Graham in an interview before Easter was appropriate. And the host of the show said, well, Dr. Graham, how do you plan on spending Easter Sunday? And Dr. Graham said something that certainly you would expect him to have said part of this, but the other part, I thought, that reveals his humility and really what was the secret of his life in ministry. He said to the host, he said, well, on Easter Sunday morning, he said, I'm going to go to church with my wife. And he said, while I'm at church, I'm going to spend some time confessing my sins. And when he first said that, I thought, what humility. Who says on national television that you're going to go to church and confess your sins? Only the greatest Christian since the Apostle Paul said that. Now, Dr. Graham knew that you don't have to go to church to confess your sins. You can confess your sins in your home, in your car, anywhere else. But what he was saying is part of what happens when we come together, whether it's on Easter or tonight or any other time, Christmas Eve, and when we have the Lord's Supper, part of what we do is we confess our sins to God. We ask Him to forgive us and to cleanse us, and we ask Him to make us once again right with Him. And so tonight, there is a seriousness about what we're doing, and we want to make sure tonight that we have a reverent spirit as we do this tonight. And then the second way that we should take the Lord's Supper is not only reverently but thankfully, with a grateful heart. I mean, after we confess our sins and receive His forgiveness, to say, God, thank you for forgiving me, thank you for cleansing my heart, and I'm so incredibly thankful and grateful for that. And then we also should take the Lord's Supper with great anticipation. You know, so many times when we come together and we do what we're about to do tonight, our mind is so much on examining ourselves, and our mind is so much on confessing our sins and thanking God for His forgiveness, and all, it should be. That's part of the reverence. But I'm afraid sometimes we don't allow our minds to go to a place where our minds should go as we think about the Lord's Supper. You say, now what are you thinking about? Well, I want to show you. Look back in verse number 26. Paul is telling the Corinthians how to have the Lord's Supper, and he says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, now watch this, till He comes. Say that with me. Till He comes. Till He comes where? Till He comes back to the earth. Now, if you have your mind engaged tonight and your spiritual antennas up, you remember that, just write this reference down, I'll read it to you, but in Matthew chapter 26, when Jesus actually instituted the Lord's Supper in that upper room, one of the things Jesus said, Matthew chapter 26 and verse 29, here's what He said to His disciples. He said, I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And so Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper in the upper room in Jerusalem. He had the Lord's Supper with His disciples, and Jesus has not been at a Lord's Supper in a physical sense since then, one and only time. And He said to His disciples, I'm not going to do this again until I do it new with you in my Father's kingdom. What kingdom is He talking about? He's talking about the millennial His millennial reign on this earth. When one day at the second coming of Christ, just after the Battle of Armageddon, and after Jesus sets up His kingdom in Jerusalem, and there'll be peace in the land once and for all, that Jesus Christ ruling and reigning there in Jerusalem, and we will all be with Him. All those who've ever been saved will be with Him. We'll have been taken to heaven years before that and spent time in heaven. We'll have already been appeared before the judgment seat of Christ, and by this time we will be with Jesus in our new bodies, in our resurrected bodies, and we'll be with Him there in Jerusalem. And one of the things that we're going to do, think about this, with Jesus in Jerusalem, is we're going to take the Lord's Supper together. And Paul said, when you come together to have this, yes, examine yourself, yes, confess your sins, but also remember there's coming a day when you're going to take this supper, not just remembering Jesus, we'll still be remembering what He did, but you're going to take this supper sitting at the same table with Jesus Christ. And so tonight, what I'm saying is our minds, yes, they're on the here and now. They're on the examination and the confession of our sins. But in our hearts and in our minds tonight, we have to imagine. We have to go way out into the future. And we have to think about that day when we will be with Jesus and we'll be taking the Lord's Supper with Him. And not only with Jesus, think about this. Think about family members you have who have gone on to heaven. You used to take the Lord's Supper with them here with us several times during the year, and now they've gone on. I was thinking this afternoon as I was finishing this sermon, I was thinking about my four grandparents. And Joel and I, even though we grew up in different states from our grandparents, we're always very close to them. In fact, when I went to college, I wrote a letter to my grandparents every week, and they wrote me back every week. Now, my grandfather on my mother's side, he said to me, "Now, John, I'm not writing a letter every week." He said, "But if you'll stay in their school and don't quit and don't flunk out or anything like that," he said, "when you graduate, I'm going to write you a letter." And you know, he worked on that letter for several months. He would write a paragraph at a time. And when I finally got that letter, it was 6 or 8 pages from him. Being the oldest grandchild, I got to name our grandparents. And I named my mom's parents Mamo and Pop. That was the names I gave for them. And I named my dad's parents Mimo, kind of opposite of Mamo. And I named my grandfather Big Pop because he was bigger than regular Pop. That's how I figured that out. And I was thinking about them today and how close we were. And I can remember back in 1985, when I was a freshman in high school, Joel was in the 7th grade, we took our first trip to Israel. And while we were there, I can still remember the setting we were in when our group, there were probably about 40 of us then, we gathered around at a particular site and we took the Lord's Supper together. And I can remember, even as a 9th grade kid, thinking, how incredible is this to be taking the Lord's Supper in Israel, but to have my grandparents, not only my brother and my parents, but to have my grandparents on this trip. A few years after that, we were in Georgia for the holidays, and on New Year's Eve at my dad's parents' church, they had it set up one year. It was kind of a neat thing where each family could have a private Lord's Supper service with the pastor of that church, and they had it scheduled like every 15 minutes, and so it wasn't long, but it was just your family and the pastor of that church. And so on this particular New Year's Eve, I don't know, 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, we went down to the church, and it was just our family, and we were sitting on the front row, and I can just remember, I'm probably a junior in high school, and I just thought, this is a neat experience, here with my brother, here with my parents, here with my grandparents on this side. And today, as I was thinking about what Jesus said, that when we, or what Paul said about when we take the communion, we remember that Jesus is not going to do this again until he sets up his kingdom. But when he sets up his kingdom, we're going to have communion with Jesus. You know what? One of these days, I'm going to have communion again with Mamo and Pop and Mimo and Big Pop. One day, you're going to have communion again with your family members who have gone on before you. We'll all be back together, and we'll be seated at the Lord's table, and it's going to be a beautiful thing. And so tonight, we take this meal reverently and thankfully, but also with great anticipation. We've got one eye looking out there to that day when we'll have this meal with Jesus in his millennial kingdom. And then the question tonight, what happens when we take the Lord's Supper? What can we expect to happen tonight? Well, I've jotted down several things here. First, as we take communion tonight, the Lord's Supper, we can expect that we will get closer to God. How could we not get closer to God? We're asking him to forgive our sins. We're receiving that forgiveness by faith. We're thanking him for his forgiveness, and we're remembering what he's done for us and how much he loves us. And so how could you come to church tonight and not get closer to God if you engage your mind in this? So that's the first thing that's going to happen. The second thing that's going to happen tonight is we get closer to each other. Now in this room, we have people, and all of us come from different backgrounds. We have different interests. We have a lot of things that are different from each other. But think about this. Tonight, as we take the Lord's Supper together, in spite of all of our differences, when we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, what are we experiencing? We're experiencing and we're sharing the fact that we have the most important thing in common, and that is our faith in Jesus Christ and our ultimate loyalty to him. Think about this. Tonight, I'll be seated on the front row, and when I take the Lord's Supper, I always spend the most of my time examining myself, confessing my sins, being forgiven, so that I'll be cleansed. I'll let my mind go just a little bit to that millennial kingdom and that future Lord's Supper one day we'll have together. How incredible that will be! But you know, after some time of prayer and reflection, I'll lift my head. I'll open my eyes. I'll listen to the choir sing. Out of my peripheral vision, I'll be able to see some of you on this side of me and some on that side. And you know, I won't be saying anything, but in my mind, when my dad gets up to administer the Lord's Supper tonight and he says, of the bread, take, eat all of it, and we all take our hands and we put that bread in our mouth, you know what, out of my peripheral vision for you guys and out of my straight-on vision with the choir, they'll be doing the same thing I'm doing. And I'll be thinking tonight, you know what, with all of our differences, all the things that we might not have in common, we have the most important thing in common, our faith in Jesus Christ and our ultimate loyalty to Him. And so think about this, that person you're sitting next to tonight, maybe you're sitting by your spouse, I'm sure you are if you're married, and you on your way to church tonight, maybe you had a squabble. Maybe you had a fight. It wasn't a squabble. It was beyond a squabble. And maybe you just kind of, there's some tension in the family, or maybe with your kids, or maybe with your friends over here tonight in our student section. And so many times we can focus on what we have, you know, not in common, or what we don't agree on. But tonight, you watch what's going to happen when my dad says, take, eat, all of it. Take, drink, all of it. You just kind of out of your peripheral vision, as you're eating of this bread and drinking of this cup, the person next to you, if they're saved, they're doing the exact same thing. And you know what that ought to say to you tonight? That ought to say to you tonight, what you have in common is more important than what you may not have in common. And we need to focus on Jesus and not petty, silly things that so many times we get upset about and argue about doesn't amount to a hill of beans. And so I would encourage you tonight, focus not only on your love for Jesus, that person sitting next to you, focus on their love for Jesus and how important Jesus is to them. That's what matters. And then another thing that will happen tonight is we take the Lord's Supper together, and that is we share our faith in Christ in a special way. You know, there are a lot of ways that we share our faith in Christ. Choir sings a song, they're sharing their faith. I preach a sermon, I'm sharing my faith. You go to work tomorrow, tell somebody how to be saved, you're sharing your faith. You write a booklet, you're sharing your faith. But did you know tonight, as we have communion together, one of the things we're doing is we're sharing our faith in a different kind of way. Look back in verse 26. Look what Paul said. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. Did you know tonight, by the fact that you're here and by the fact that you will be taking the Lord's Supper, eating of that bread, drinking of that cup, what are you saying to the person sitting next to you? What are you saying to the person across the room who you don't even know, who may not even be saved? I'll tell you exactly what you're saying. And by the way, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody gets saved tonight just because they're in an environment like this where Christians are observing and taking the Lord's Supper. We're proclaiming His death. What are you saying? You're saying, I believe that Jesus Christ died on that cross to pay for my sins. I believe He was buried. I believe 3 days later He came up out of that grave. I believe 40 days after that He went back up to the Father in heaven. I believe tonight Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father, and I believe one day He's coming back to this earth. But in the meantime, I have received Jesus Christ into my heart as my Lord and Savior. He's forgiven my sins and changed my life. See, you're saying all that tonight without saying a word because you are taking the Lord's Supper. Again, I want to just thank you for being here tonight. I pray that maybe something I've said tonight will make this, for all of us, an even more meaningful experience. And I encourage us now in these next few moments, let's examine ourselves, let's confess our sins, let's thank God for His forgiveness, and let's think about that day yet to come when we'll take this communion meal with Jesus in His millennial kingdom. Amen.